bring Christian greetings to each one here this morning. Thankful for the privilege of being in God's house. Thankful for each one that's here. I trust we have already been blessed as we looked into God's Word. And I trust that we will receive more blessings as we continue to look into the Word. Today is what we call Father's Day. And as we look across the congregation, there are quite a few fathers here this morning. Some of us are older. And we want to speak especially to the fathers today. I trust that each one here can receive spiritual food that will be a blessing. But I think as we think of fathers and their responsibilities, we do well to hear a message that's directed more largely to the fathers. As I was meditating on this, it seemed like things just weren't coming together. And I was praying about it. I got, suddenly the came to me that, you know, God is our Heavenly Father. And as earthly fathers, who could we look to for a better example than our Heavenly Father? And this morning I want to challenge myself and each father that is here by looking at the character and personality of God, our Heavenly Father. Now, I do understand, I admit that we as earthly fathers will never come to the point of such perfection as what God is. In our zeal and in our desire to be like God, we will come short of lining up to the perfection of God. Yes, we desire to do what God wants us to do and make decisions that God, like God wants us to make them. But along the way, we understand that we make some failures. I believe we older brethren here would all agree to that as we look back. Yes, we've made some mistakes. We've made failures. But I'm thankful for the power of God that He can take our failures and work them around to where there's still a blessing when our hearts are after God and we want His will to be done. He can overrule in our failures. But 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." As we do that, we're growing in our knowledge of our Heavenly Father, which is God. Romans 8:29 speaks of being conformed to the image of Christ. And in my own words, to the word conform would be to shape or mold or to make like Christ, to be made in His likeness. So I believe we fathers here this morning all feel the need of being better fathers, of being more conformed to the image of Christ. And I believe as we desire to be more like Christ, that it will cause us to draw near to God, our Heavenly Father. to just draw near to Him, ask Him for wisdom, and ask Him that our lives would be a copy of His attributes and His character. And as we go into this message, I do want everyone to understand here that this subject makes me so aware of my own weaknesses, my own failures. I'm not pointing finger at anyone, any father here this morning, saying you need to be doing a better job. I'm sure that if you're honest with yourself, you already know that, regardless who you are. Because we're human and we do make mistakes. If I could have things to do over again, there would be things I definitely would want to do differently. But you know, if God gave me the opportunity to go back, I'd probably make some other mistakes along the way too. So we just, my desire is this morning that we as fathers can become more like our Heavenly Father, that we operate like God operates. That's our desire. I believe as we desire to be more like our Heavenly Father, that will help our children to learn early in life to trust us and come to us with their fears, their cares, their joys, whatever is on their minds. I want to challenge us as fathers this morning that our small children's impressions of God, I believe, can easily be affected by our actions, the way that we operate. Now, thinking of some of the attributes of God, the first one that, and I'm not saying I have them in order, but love. God is love. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold what manner, what quality of love God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." Behold the quality, the manner of love. John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Again, the quality and the quantity of this love. That God has manifested to us. He manifests His love to us in so many ways. Our Heavenly Father loves to pour out His love upon us. So the question comes to me this morning, fathers, how can we manifest our love to our children? There are various ways I believe we can do this. And I'm not saying that I have all of them listed here by any means this morning. But I think that we need to manifest our love to our children by taking a genuine interest in them. Yes, we need to take a genuine interest in them. Time spent with our children is a tremendously good investment. I know we have our work that we must do in providing for the physical, material needs of our children, our families. But let's take time to show a genuine interest in our children, in the things that they're interested in. It's a good investment. You know, we want our children to come to us with their cares, their problems, and what things that are bothering them when they become older. Because our children don't just stay at 2 and 3 years old. If we want them to come to us when they sense a need in their lives and they don't have the answer to it, we need to have built a relationship with them so that they feel free to come. They want to come. I know of a person that has said that we as parents shouldn't feel bad if our children go to someone else for their help. Sometimes I guess that is necessary. But you know, I really believe, fathers and mothers, that if we have taken an interest in our children and they really feel that we care, that we love them, that we want their best interest, that they should feel a drawing to come to us with their cares, with their problems. You know, when they're young, if we make them feel stupid because of their little cares, their little problems that we think, you know, it's just nothing to them, and we make them feel like, well, what in the world ails you? This is no problem. They won't come to us when they're older and when they have a real problem. Then they will look for someone else for their help. I believe, fathers, that the way to gain your child's heart starts early in the life of the child. Starts early in their lives. Do deeds of kindness that shows them we truly love them. Deeds of kindness. Oh, we have such a busy schedule, and I must admit, I wonder sometimes, how is it that our schedules get so busy? We have so many time-saving devices and so many machines to do our work, and yet we are so busy. How do we take time for our children? But you know, when they come with a problem, they have a toy that is broken, take the time that's necessary to fix it if it can be fixed. Do deeds of kindness that shows them that you do love them, that you do care. Fathers, I know it's not always appropriate, it's not always safe to have your children with you when you work, but have them with you as you can. And I lament the fact that we are so far removed from farm life today, where that dad is working at home. I lament that fact. I don't know what to do about it. But to our young fathers here today that have children that are growing up, that are getting older, look for ways to do things with them. I guess sometimes we just have to forget about the work. It's time to go home and be with the family. Spend time with the family. Spend time with your children. Do things with them. Now, I'm not much of a fisherman, never have been, but you know, I do see the value in dad taking the children fishing. It's time together. And it doesn't always take something very big at all to bring a smile to the children's faces. It, you know what? It's just as small as a little Smartie after church will bring how many smiles. And so, fathers, do things with your children. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It doesn't have to, yeah, it doesn't have to be expensive, but do things that build a relationship with them. I believe we manifest our love to our children, fathers, by proper discipline. When corporal punishment is needed, and it is needed various times, but make sure, fathers, that our heart, that our spirit is controlled. That anger is not entering the picture at all in the punishment that is given. Our spirit must be controlled. Make sure that the punishment that is administered is for the eternal good of the child. It's not that I'm upset because my 6-year-old boy, my 8-year-old boy has destroyed something that will cost me money. That should not enter the picture. Punishment must be administered for the eternal good of the child. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. It was very, very familiar, a very familiar passage. But we see here how God does with us. The last part of verse 5 and verse 6. We have these words, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now, the chastening and scourging are not pleasant experiences. But it says that God does this to those that he loves, to his children. Do we as fathers here question God's love for us this morning? I hope not. God has manifested his love in so many ways to us. Now we go on to verse 10 and 11, the latter part of verse 10. It says verse 9 and first part of 10 speaks of how our earthly fathers corrected us. The latter part of verse 10 says, "But he," or God, "does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Now that's the way God chastens us. That's the reason he chastens us, that he scourges us, is that it's for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Now I really believe, fathers, that when discipline is administered in a way that is God-honoring, that it will bring about results, the results that we want to see. I really believe it. Our children must be able to feel our love for them, even in discipline. They should not at all detect any anger. They should feel our love for them because we're concerned about their never-dying soul. We're concerned that they learn that disobedience brings results. There are consequences to disobedience or whatever the problem was. And so we discipline them in a way that helps him understand the eternal principles of God's word, that disobedience brings consequences. When we discipline our child, they're crying. I think there's a place for crying. Fact is, I would say the discipline is not finished if there wasn't crying. But I don't believe the crying should go on real long after the punishment is administered. It can be a form of pouting. It can be, it's just, to me, it shows that will has not been broken yet. And some people don't like to use the word broken, speak of a will being broken. But the Bible speaks of us being broken before God. And I really believe that our children need to come to the point where they are willing to give up their own will, that will is done away with when there's been misbehavior. I think it's important to take that child up in our arms. After discipline, take him up in our arms. Just again, reassure them that we love them. To give a hug and a kiss right after a spanking, I think it goes just like icing on the cake. It goes together. I remember my father even praying with us after discipline. I think it's important that we as fathers don't give our children the impression that God is a tyrant. He's walking around with a stick over our heads ready to beat us to the ground when we make a mistake. That's not our God. And that's not the way we as fathers operate with our children. We want to be fathers that truly point our children to our Heavenly Father, the one who loves us with a never-dying love. Another way that we manifest our love to our children is by having open communication with them. We've kind of talked about that some maybe already, but you know, start when they're infants, just tiny. I don't know how y'all feel about what we call baby talk. But if I walked up to one of our little children when they were little and just talked to them in a grown-up way, you know, how many smiles would I have received from that little infant? If I kind of chuck him under the chin and talk a little baby talk to him, you know, that brings a smile. And I believe that that's a form of communication that infant needs, to where that it brings a smile. And as they get older, it changes from baby talk to more serious talk. But I believe that communication, starting when they're tiny, is very important, and that we keep it up as they're growing, as they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. That communication keeps right on, and that we're keeping up with it. That we're staying with them on the level that they are in maturity, and that we're leading them on And our level of communication deepens. And they learn that they can come to dad or to mom anytime they want to, and whether it's day or night, when they have their little fears, that they can come. Oh, that thing of communication is so important. I believe that it gives them the confidence that we truly love them, and that we're interested in them and in their lives, in their cares. God has manifested his love to us in many ways. And one way is that he has done it is in giving us his word. It's him communicating with us through his written word. So let's not neglect that avenue of communication with our children. We also manifest our love to our children by our actions and words. While it is very important that our children hear us tell them, "I love you," let's make sure that our actions prove that those three little words are really true. You know, as I look back, I wish now I would have told our children. I wish I would have said those three little words more often to them. But I did want my actions to show that I did love them. And those three little words can be very empty words if the actions don't correspond. But I think it's important that we tell our children that we love them. Sometimes the action that needs to be taken will be perceived by the child as something other than love, maybe. When they need to be corrected, well, I'm sure the devil would really like for them to think that, you know, Daddy doesn't love me because he's going to punish me. But as we've kept up our communication with that child, and as we've worked with from infancy, I believe that they can understand that we do love them. Another attribute of God we want to think about is holiness. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, very familiar verses. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." And this is a quote from the Old Testament that Peter was using here. So in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's telling us that I'm holy, and you're to be holy. Fathers, that applies to us this morning. And to mothers, of course, too. But being Father's Day, we're speaking mostly to the fathers. I think it is imperative that our children see that we do not demand something of them that we are not doing ourselves. You know, we teach our children that they're to tell the truth. And we punish them if we find out they're telling us an untruth. Well, are we as fathers completely honest? In our business dealings, whatever it is, are we completely honest? I believe hypocrisy, and we studied about hypocrisy this morning in our Sunday school lesson, but I believe hypocrisy will destroy our children's confidence in us probably more quickly than anything else. There's a family that most of us would have known, that the one son said he remembers when when he realized for the first time that his mother told a lie. There was a claim to be a child of God. Where were the actions? Where is the family today? It's a sad story. Fathers, let's show to our children by example that holiness in everyday life is of utmost importance. We need to grow in holiness so we can help our children do the same. Another attribute of God we want to look at is purity. God is altogether pure. And I believe purity and holiness just go hand in hand. You lose your holiness, you lose purity. You lose purity, you lose holiness. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, keep thyself pure. Now, I believe he was really talking in the context of pure doctrinally there. But we can apply that in other areas of life also. In our relationship to others, that we keep ourselves pure. We live in a very degenerate society today. Sin is no longer recognized by many in the world today. What they've completely lost the standard of God's word. There are people in this country today who ask, well, who is Jesus? So what do they know about holiness? What do they know about purity? Sin is no longer considered sinful. It's no longer considered that they don't consider the fact that sin separates from God. Impure lifestyles today are very, very common. And actually exalted as something that's good. Fathers, I believe it is very, very important that we just keep coming back to the Word of God. And we keep our standard of purity where God puts it. In John 17, we have Christ's high priestly prayer. I love this prayer. Verse 15, chapter 17 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, we find ourselves living in the world. But brothers and sisters, we're not of the world. Fathers, we need to be teaching our children the standard of purity that the Word of God teaches. That sinful practices bring the wrath of God upon us. Impure relationships is sinful. It has no part of the Christian life. I believe we need to start early in the lives of our children, teaching them purity. Philippians 4, verse 8, gives us a list of things to think about. Notice that one of the things that it mentions is things that are pure. Things that are pure. As we think of the educational system of the world today, the things that are taught there, it brings sorrow to our hearts. We've been praying for Melinda Martin here in Richmond, also for her husband, that he would come to know the Lord. She was just telling my wife recently on the phone that she just laments the fact that their 9-year-old daughter will be going into middle school, and there they teach yoga and meditation. She said, the Lord revealed to me that that's wrong. But they're teaching that in schools today. They're teaching many other things that young children need to learn about in a pure way. And I think fathers, it's affecting us in our plain circles, in our plain churches today, that our children are learning facts of life that way too early. And I know I've said it before, and I'll say it again. And I believe I'll say it as long as I live or have my right mind, that our children at too young of an age are learning things that they should not be learning. And I just plead with us as fathers that we take our stand on these things. Our children need to learn things when they're old enough to handle it, to know how to deal with it from us as parents in a pure and holy way. Children, when they're too young, they don't know. One way we can tell whether they're old enough, I believe, is what they'll go around telling their little friends. If you're telling their little friends about things that shouldn't be talked about, they're way too young to know those things. We could cause our children to struggle with impure thoughts by teaching them things that they're too young to know. Another thing that I think we need to consider this morning is that God is not partial. Fathers, do we have favorites in the family? Do we tend to like one child above another? I know some children are just so, they can just be so lovable and just cuddle up to us, and we enjoy that. Another one might be more independent. But let's not be partial. Let's not lift one up above another. Treat every child as a rare and special gift from God. Yes, they have different personalities. Some are easier to handle than others. But let's love them all the same. Let's consider them special gifts from God, each one of them. James 2, verse 9, the first part of that verse says, but if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. And I think that can happen in our homes. Well, the thing of fatherhood is a large subject. We cannot cover every aspect of it this morning, but being a father is a very serious responsibility. It's a very serious responsibility. It's also a wonderful privilege, but it has a very, very serious side to it. We are dealing with eternal souls. We're dealing with souls that will live on forever and forever and forever. These dear little children that we see among us today, we're so thankful for each one of them. Just allow this thought to grip your hearts, fathers, that they, each one of these dear children, will one day either be in heaven with God, where all is bliss and joy and happiness, or they will be in hell with the devil and his angels, I can hardly bear the thought of one of these dear precious ones missing heaven. Let's take our calling seriously. You know, we can hardly take our children where we are not ourselves. So let's commit our lives fully to the Lord. Let's follow Him. Let's heed His commandments, His teaching. Let us set a good example for our children. And this morning I do want to say that I am very thankful for the father that God gave me. He was not a perfect dad, because he was human. He made some mistakes. I think I even got a spanking one time when I didn't deserve it any more than my brother, and he didn't get one. But you know what? I thank my dad. I'm thankful that my dad cared enough for me to give me the spanking that I needed. He loved the Lord with all his heart. As long as I live, I want to honor his burden, his desire that we, his children, would live for the Lord. 3 John verse 4. John says here, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that is my testimony this morning. To hear that our children, whether it's in our own family or in our church family, there's no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in truth. Let's pray.